In this episode of the Project Management Podcast, we'll discuss the top seven challenges that a project business faces and how to address them.
Hello and welcome back to the Project Management Podcast at pm-podcast.com. This is Premium, episode 450, and I'm Cornelius Fichtner. Premium means that this episode is reserved for our premium subscribers. Thank you very much for joining us today and also for supporting the podcast financially. Matt Mong and Hendrik Lerkenfeld are back on the program today to discuss project business from the corporate perspective. And as a reminder, if your company's products and services are delivered to your clients primarily through projects, then your company is defined as a project business. In particular, we are going to be discussing the seven challenges of a project business, beginning with the acceptance of the status quo and ending with lack of real-time insight. Enjoy the interview. Hello, Matt, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And same thing goes to Denmark. Hello, Hendrik, welcome back as well.
Hello, Cornelius, good to be back.
Matt, to get us started here, would you please give us a quick recap and overview of what we mean by a project business and how that differs from managing a project as part of another business?
Sure. So the term project business really was first used, I guess, back in 2006, 2005 in academia. And it basically refers to any business that provides its goods and services to customers through projects. So, you know, this could mean construction, engineering, architecture, engineer-to-order manufacturing, and various other types of, you know, professional services. So the very core of what these companies do is projects. So we can think of project business as essentially its own, I guess, macro industry category. And we can compare that to other macro industries, for example, retail. So if you sell goods directly to consumers, you're in the retail business. It doesn't really matter what type of products you sell. So it could be clothes, could be home goods, food. In any of these cases, you're considered a retail business. Really, project business is the same. It doesn't quite matter what you're delivering with your project, whether it's a bridge, a building, an airplane, a centrifuge, or, you know, a restructuring plan for a hospital. In any of those cases, you're delivering your product through projects, and that makes you a project business. So, you know, I guess this is true for any type of business. You know, any type of business can do projects, but for project businesses, the key lies in that, you know, delivering these projects is how they serve their customers directly. And it's how they make money. So other companies may conduct, you know, internal capital projects to improve efficiencies or create something new, but it's not their bread and butter. So for project businesses, the project directly affects the bottom line. You know, the project generates the revenue and also the cost. So if a project doesn't go well, it means the business doesn't do well. So, you know, that's what we mean by project business.
Excellent. And just to clarify, a project business, so a company who is in the project business, will have project managers working for them, and they manage the projects for their customers, the external customers who pay money so that the company can make revenue.
Correct. Exactly.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you for that clarification. Just need to be absolutely clear that today we're talking about the project business, so the company that is in the business of delivering projects. All right, and now over to you, Hendrik, because our focus today is going to be on the seven challenges of the project business, the organization that's in the project business. But since our listeners here are project managers, they manage day-to-day projects, quick question to get us started before that. You know, the seven challenges, we'll hear what they are in a bit, but, you know, a project is a project is a project. So shouldn't the challenges generally be the same whether you're running a project internally for your company versus you're doing the project as part of a project business company?
I think to a large extent, they are very similar challenges. When you're running a project business, I think that one of the main differences is that your entire enterprise is organized either within or around and in support of projects. So organizationally, the challenge is greater than if you just run the odd capital projects here and there. And also, I think, as Matt talked about earlier, the impact and the importance of getting it right is much higher than if you just do the occasional one-off project.
Excellent. And now we're going to jump into the project business, into the organization that does projects as their core business. And we're going to talk about these seven challenges. And for each of the challenge, we'll hear what the problem is, how you address it, and maybe also recommended good practices of dealing with it. So let's jump in. The first one is acceptance of the status quo. What do we mean by that, Henrik?
So we come at this from a technology provider perspective, and what we are generally seeing is that project businesses are doing pretty much today what they did 30 years ago. So we get on a daily basis RFPs and RFIs from project companies, which essentially is saying this is what we're looking for in a solution for our business. And very often when we zoom in on these RFPs or RFIs, we're seeing the kind of the requirements are limited around project accounting. And the assumption is therefore that any kind of deep financial operational project management is being done in third-party applications or spreadsheets, but certainly not in the main business application. And that, I think, is just habit. It's just that's the way it's always been. And we are maybe not aware of things potentially being any different. So what I think needs to happen is project businesses must begin to demand more. If they don't, the technology providers will just continue to sell accounting software and letting the project business running the main chunks of their business through Excel sheets. And if we talk about another macro industry like manufacturing, that would not be accepted. You're not going to have a discrete manufacturer having three separate solutions to manage their inventories, their shop orders, and their material requirement planning. So why should project businesses accept that? And that, I think, is a big problem. There's simply not enough pressure on technology providers to bring better solutions for project business.
Challenge number two is failing to identify as a project business. And let me tack on something here. Is this maybe primarily because the term project business, even though it's been around for quite a while, is quite unknown?
I think that's a big part of it, for sure. I think that the consequence here is that companies tend to, or at least often, focus on the wrong thing. So, you know, if you're a construction company, what we sometimes see is that company will focus on the 5% of their business that makes them unique to other companies instead of focusing on their core business. So before you start thinking about yourself as a mining contractor or mechanical engineer, think about being a project business and what that means in terms of managing your core business, which is going to be managing projects.
I think project managers, they probably get that. But do you think that the C-level executives who actually make these kind of decisions, who say, oh, you know what, we're actually a project business, we're not an architecture firm, that do they get that?
Maybe not initially, but they will easily be able to tell you some of the challenges that we'll get into a bit later, like, for instance, that they don't necessarily know what's going on in their own business and they're not able to pinpoint problems as they happen, so on and so forth. And that is actually a kind of a byproduct of not having your fundamentals in order, of not being able to do your fundamental management of projects.
Challenge number three, optimization of project management silos has maxed out.
Yeah, so what we mean by this is that there's been a lot of effort over, again, the last 30 or so years in trying to squeeze just a few percentage point of extra efficiency out of what we call the silos, which are all these different aspects of project management that is managed in either spreadsheets or in best of breed or point solutions. So, for instance, you might work really hard and put a lot of effort into getting a 0.5% improvement in your planning accuracy or your budget management or anything like that. The different ways of doing earned value analysis, for instance, that gives you a metrics that you can use better than the previous one. And that's all fine, but maybe instead of spending so much time and effort trying to optimize these individual silos, which has been done for years and years, maybe it's time to focus on optimizing the net total of all your silos and trying to think of the enterprise as a whole and not think of project planning and project reforecasting and project estimation, but think of managing projects as an enterprise, as an organization.
All right. Those were the first three of our seven challenges. And let me just recap them. They were number one, the acceptance of the status quo. Number two, failing to identify as a project business. And then number three, optimization of project management silos that has maxed out. Moving on to number four, where we have the inadequate communication among key stakeholders or even lack of stakeholder collaboration.
Yeah, so I think a lot of this, again, because of where we are coming from as technology providers, each stakeholder or many stakeholders in a project business, and a lot of those are around the people directly involved with the delivery of the project, which is certainly the project manager, but depending on how the project organization is kind of set up, you would often split that into project planners, project controllers, general account managers, procurement officers, so on and so forth. And one of the reasons that they are unable to collaborate effectively is because they have different tools. So the procurement officer works in the ERP system, the planner is in Primavera, and the controller is in Excel. So that alone, that they have all these different versions of the product, the project, and of course only within their own little silo, means that it's very difficult for them to have a shared opinion of where the project is at, and it's difficult for them to collaborate. So when the procurement officer sees a delay on a purchase order, how is that brought to the attention of the planner that he now needs to adjust the schedule? Because the procurement part and the planning part doesn't interact. And so that becomes a problem. And it just leads to general misalignments in the project. That procurement to schedule is one. What if a shop order is delayed? How is that going to push on to resource assignments and allocations? And maybe the financial plan, let's say that your EACs, they don't match up with the operational plan. So the operational plan has been baselined and revised multiple times without really being translated into a financial impact. So you have an operational plan that says you're on target and a financial plan that says you're not, or vice versa.
Challenge number five. Go ahead. You were going to say something else?
No, this is Matt. So I'd like to jump
hey,
in
Matt.
There.
Yes, you've been silent so far. So yes, Matt.
Yeah, so I think any type of research you do around this problem is common, right? The communication always comes up, lack of communication, poor communication always comes up as a major reason why projects fail across the board. So, but what ends up happening is then, they just go back to the basics of communication. Make sure you set up your status reports and your status meetings and everybody's involved. And the onus, it goes back to, the project manager or the director of that project to communicate all these things out manually. Whereas, let's take it a level deeper. And what Henrik is talking about is, they aren't even on the same page as far as what that information that they're working with says. So, let's get them all on the same page. And that's what we're talking about here is we think it's a little bit deeper than just, doing a better job of managing your communications. It's more about giving in the tools and having everybody work from the essentially one source of truth so that everybody gets on the same page. And it's much easier to have the communication be effective across the board, across all these different stakeholders.
And let's also relate that back to, internal versus external projects. So a project manager who does an internal project for their own company, no external clients involved. Yeah, it's pretty bad if communication fails and breaks down, and that is the reason why the project is going to not deliver and potentially even fail, and maybe heads will roll. But, you know, in the end, everything's really internal. The company can recover from that. However, if you are in project business and you have these issues, there are external customers involved. You know, you may not get paid. There is no money coming in, right? Your reputation will fail and falter. And so that it is a lot more public if you have an external project under these circumstances where communication leads to failure, because, you know, word is getting around. Nah, don't work with these guys. They don't know what they're doing. And, you know, left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Am I seeing that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's a good way to point it out. I mean, the significance of the consequences of this issue, you know, obviously is much larger in these types of, in the project business versus, you know, those internal projects. So absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on from the inadequate communication to lack of governance and also a lack of a structured and standardized system of organizing the data. Henrik, could you elaborate this a little bit for us?
Yeah, so one thing that's very common across project businesses is that, I think we've hinted on that before, they actually work in a very fragmented application landscape. So they'll deploy a whole set of applications and tools and solutions to manage their business. That'll be in a back-end accounting system, that'll be a scheduling tool, there'll be an estimation tool, timekeeping, expense reports, tons of Excel sheets. All that is required to kind of manage that whole project life cycle, that kind of very complex set of deliverables that they oftentimes have to go through. And one of the problems with this, and there are many problems with this, but one of them is lack of governance, because if you have workloads that takes place in Excel, it's very difficult to enforce governance. It's very difficult to say, this is how we get from A to B, if you get from A to B within Excel, which is a kind of an office productivity tool that the number one strength of Excel is flexibility, and flexibility is the enemy of governance. So that is really a central problem. And it's not just that we are unable to control the process, but it also means that it can be very difficult to trust the output. If I don't understand the process, how can I rely and react to the output of that process? It also means that instead of having corporate governance, we are relying on individuals. So if you have a very good project manager, then the project succeeds. But in the same business, the same company, another project with a less efficient project manager will not yield as good a result. And that's problematic. That also means that it's difficult to kind of scale up and have a kind of a scalable business process.
And then we're moving on to challenge number six, lack of automation.
Yeah, so this is an extension of the kind of the fragmented application landscape. So again, when you think of all these applications that you have, and you're kind of, when you talk about workloads or processes, you're kind of limited within a silo. So you will talk about workloads that happens in the planning silo, or workloads that happens in a specific sort of Excel sheets, and workloads that happens on the procurement side. But if you're not able to automate that, meaning if something happens in the planning silo, that event needs to translate into an Excel sheet or into the procurement department. I'm moving my project forward. Procurement has to go and renegotiate with the vendors so that we get the materials in at an earlier stage to match the schedule. And if I don't have automation, that means I need someone kind of to intervene and make that transition from one silo to the other silo happen. And you know, the end result is that oftentimes that just doesn't happen. And so if you don't have automation, you rely on manual intervention, you end up with project controls and workloads being neglected or not being done nearly as frequent as you would want them to happen. And it does prevent just the flow of information across the enterprise. And if you have, again, this kind of fluid, high-risk environment of projects, the organizational agility is even more important in that kind of environment. The more fluid it is, the better you have to be able to react. And if for you to react, you need manual intervention. That is a problem.
Right. So that was challenge number six. Let me do another quick recap here. As number four, we've had inadequate communication among key stakeholders, or the lack of stakeholder collaboration as such. Number five was the lack of governance, the lack of structured and standardized systems of organizing the data. And now we just heard number six is lack of automation. And I think that that's actually a good moment to bring in your own company, Henrik, because your company is Adika at adika.com. You offer project business solutions. How does your software help us deal with the lack of automation that we just heard about?
Well, so the kind of the foundation of our solution is that we want to reduce the reliance on point solutions and Excel sheet. And we're not saying stop using Excel. That would be a hopeless enterprise in any event. But we're saying if you shouldn't use Excel for as kind of a central component of your critical day-to-day business processes. That needs to be managed elsewhere. So what we've actually done is we've taken a kind of ERP system from Microsoft called Dynamics Finance and Operations, which has a project accounting module, which is what most ERP systems do. But what we've then said, we've looked at that solution and said, well, in order for that to be kind of a one-stop solution, cradle to grave for the full project life cycle, what do we need? Well, we need support for planning within the system. We need costing, budget management, cost breakdown structures, resource management, portfolio analytics, EVA. All that stuff is required to run a project business. So what we've done is we've built out all those capabilities completely embedded within the ERP system. So we end up with one central system that can manage your entire project business. Once that was done, we started to redefine business processes that would span what in the old world would be multiple point solutions. So we were not limited to say, well, this workload is a planning workload and it begins and ends with planning. We were able to start something in planning, push that onto a budget, onto a costing sheet, onto whatever else we need to push it onto. So we were able to then build in automation for these redefined processes without manual intervention. So as just a very simple way of exemplifying this, take the schedule, which is something that's almost always done in a third-party solution, right? So the schedule is your timeline. It tells you when your project starts, when it finishes, and all the activities within that time span. What if that information was completely embedded with your project financials and your back office ERP functions? Imagine what you could use that information for. So initially, you could certainly generate your labor estimate based on the schedule. You would have the time phasing coming from the plan, so you could use that to do cash flow analysis, plan value for EVA. Once those estimates gets approved, you push it into your costing sheet and you have budget at completion, BAC. You link your milestones into your payment plan to manage the revenue side of things. You can begin to do procurement planning, shop floor activities according to your schedule. When delays happens either on the project or in procurement, you make sure you call those delays out and realign the project and the procurement plan, for instance. You can use your remaining work estimates from the schedule to automatically calculate EAC for you. And the list goes on and on. So that is really the central element of our solution, getting rid of point solutions to a large extent, integrating your critical business processes, and then building automation between them.
All right. And now we are moving on to the seventh and final challenge, which is the lack of real-time insight.
Right. So when it comes to like C-level, this is the number one complaint, right? So saying we don't actually know what's going on with our projects until they're done, for instance. So instead of kind of analyzing your projects on an ongoing basis, you kind of do a kind of post-mortem once it's done, say, okay, were we on budget? Really? Did we meet the deadlines? Well, sort of. And that's kind of the reason that is happening is because you don't have the information available. And if you want to generate that information, you're going to have to dedicate people to digging that information out and presenting it in the right format for you to react on. So what does that mean? Well, it means that you end up making important business decisions based on either no data or unreliable and outdated data, or you don't make any decisions at all. You just react instead of trying to manage. And the other, again, very often cited problem is you're not able to do early detection. Early detection in product management is king. If you're able to identify a problem while it's small and manageable, then you can mitigate and you can prevent it from growing into a severe problem. If you are unable to do that and you're only paying attention to the problem when it's already grown into a huge thing, then, well, sometimes it's too late to do anything about it at all. But best case, it's going to cost much more in mitigation to resolve it, because the earlier you can set in, the quicker and the more cost effectively you can mitigate problems. And also, when we talk about disruptions, which is a big, big issue, and disruptions can be anything. It can be a problem on site. It can be a vendor who's delivering poor quality items or internal production order that's not being ready on time. Any of these things, if you don't have insight, you're detecting them. You're kind of seeing them when the disruptions happen, instead of detecting that a disruption is coming and then intervening, mitigating, and resolving it before it actually happens.
Okay, there we have it, the seven challenges of a project business. Henrik, if you've been in the business of helping project businesses for quite a long time, and if I asked you, what are the top 20 challenges, you could probably rattle them off within a few minutes there. Why did you choose these seven challenges that we heard in particular?
These are kind of, I mean, if you've asked me for eight, we would have another one in there as well. But these are the common challenges that we see again and again across product businesses. So it doesn't really matter if you're in construction, engineering, ETO, manufacturing, or a service company. These are the common challenges that we see again and again. Typically, if we just, the first time we interact with a new customer or a client, the first complaint we normally get is lack of insight. But then as we begin to try to analyze, well, why is there a lack of insight? That's actually because of all the other things that we talked about, lack of governance, lack of automation, all these things. So it all kind of connects. But the number one complaint that we hear is certainly lack of insight.
You've just answered my next question. I would have said out of these seven, which was number one?
Right.
Well, lack of insight.
Yeah.
And however, you know, still lack of insight. Even if you have a software like your own, it's garbage in, garbage out, right? If the company doesn't commit to this, it doesn't put in the information, doesn't track the information, the lack of insight isn't going away.
That's true, absolutely. And that's also why governance is an important element, because if you can control your processes and make sure that you get, well, you can't maybe completely eliminate garbage, but at least reduce it, then the quality of what gets out is increased as well. But it's true. It's not, I mean, software alone doesn't do it. It is an organizational change that needs to happen as well.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. So to close our interview today, Henrik and Matt, I'd like each of you to give our listeners a tip. Many of them are leading projects within a project business, meaning that they are in an organization that delivers projects to its external customers. That's what a project business means. And that again means that their focus is more on their projects and less on the company as a whole, because today we talked about the company. These are the challenges, the seven challenges of the overall organization. So therefore, my question for you, once they are done listening to our interview and they go back to managing that project for their customer, which particular area of the project should they take a close look at to make sure that things go smoothly, you know, as a project business project within a project business company? Whoa, that was a difficult sentence to say. Maybe Henrik, you first. What should a project manager look at?
I think the central element is actually the first thing we talked about, which is don't accept the status quo, demand more. Don't accept just because traditionally schedules are done in Primavera, procurement is done in ERP and costing and budget management in Excel. Don't accept that there isn't a better way of doing things, and try to think about what it would mean if all your critical business processes related to projects were completely integrated in a single system and you could build automation between what today is silos. I really believe that if you're talking about productivity and where is the next productivity leap coming from, I don't think it's coming from doing a 0.2% productivity gain within planning. I think we really need to focus on the whole, and we need to really get these productivity leaps within project businesses. We have to focus on synergies and increased automation and insight and process control, which is exactly what manufacturers did in the 80s when they started moving into ERP or 90s. So that is what I would say. Don't just accept the status quo. Ask for more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Henrik. And Matt?
Yeah, so I guess I just, you know, Henrik said it very well. I'll just pick up off of what he said and the fact that, you know, most of these people in project businesses don't realize that there is a better way, that, you know, a way to integrate your business processes, that there is a way to standardize how you do things. There is a way to get real-time visibility in your business. They accept the status quo and they move on instead of like really, you know, challenging themselves. So I think you got to challenge yourself and go look for it. Go look for better ways. And what's happening right now and what we're, you know, obviously Adika is a part of is this thing that's called Project Business Automation and or PBA. And what that is basically a new category of software solutions designed specifically for project-based companies, for these project businesses. And it integrates, just as Henrik talked about, it integrates all those core project business processes into one end-to-end system. So that includes all the project management, the scheduling, the financials and accounting, the project and portfolio analytics, you know, as well as your back-end business and accounting functions. So everything works together seamlessly. So you no longer have to manage everything in those 12 or 13 different siloed applications. You know, they come together in PBA as one system. And I mentioned earlier that, you know, the term project business was first used actually back in 2005, but it just hasn't been well developed yet. And I think, you know, the marrying of that term project business now with automation to make project business automation simply represents a sort of systemization of project business. So I really encourage, you know, listeners to check it out, think differently, Google it, find out everything you can about it, because it could really make a significant difference in your company.
Fantastic. So Henrik and Matt, thank you so much for having been here today and talking us through the 7 challenges of a project business. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Matt Mong is Project Business Evangelist and Henrik Lerkenfeld, Vice President of Product Development at Adika. And since we were talking about project business today, allow me to remind you that I not only offer project management training for individuals, but also for corporations. So if you are looking to provide project management training for your company, maybe PMP exam prep, then please visit pm-podcast.com/corporate to see what I offer. Let's talk. And that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Please visit pm-podcast.com for show notes, links, transcripts, and PDU information. Our email address is info@pm-podcast.com. And finally, we have this. Rewards and motivation are an oil change for project engines. Do it regularly and often. Until next time.